Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I know what you're doing. You're on your way. You're packing into a car. You're getting your family into the sedan, and you're on your way to your buddy's house where you're going to gorge yourself and eat. Did you see how many wings they said will be consumed? 1.3 billion wings will be consumed today. We've already ordered. We are locked in with our pizza order. I ordered a pie, wings, and a little chicken parm sandwich just in case, because you don't know, it's a long game. And then, you know, and this is how great my wife is. And we'll get to your calls, 800-919-3776. You can line up your Super Bowl calls. Line up your, I can't stand Tom Brady at all. And it's perfect because you're getting in the car to head over to watch the Super Bowl and to see all the commercials, right? Isn't that what you're doing? So I'm thinking to myself before, boy, you know what? I really dropped the ball because I like to, I mean, this is an elite eating day. Like if you're going to really just stuff your face, today's the day because you got football. It's a long game. Halftime takes forever. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, we made a mistake because we ordered the food. It's going to be delivered around 6:30, which is great. But the problem is there's nothing appetizer-ish to go. And it's just like food comes, eat, done. And I opened the fridge before early this afternoon and there's a crudité. There's vegetables, there's dips because my wife kicks butt and she realized that's something we should have. I didn't even tell her. I didn't think about it. She just did it. 15 years of marriage in May, paying off in a big way. All right. So 800-919-3776. So two topics and two topics alone today, right? We're not getting into Dwayne Haskins. We're not getting into Le'Veon Bell. We're not getting into, well, I'd give this or that for Antonio Brown. We're not doing it. There's two options for you and two alone. 800-919-3776. And number one is the Super Bowl. As Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and I mean, the numbers are astronomical and it doesn't even make sense. It's not fair. Their ninth trip. The one of all the stats, right? It's Brady's done this and the biggest comeback in the first overtime and Belichick, and Belichick's gone to what, 12 as an assistant and a head coach and everything that wows you. But the one stat with New England that wows me more than anything else is that, not counting the injury season of 2008 where Brady tore his knee and didn't play the entire year after game one. They still went 11-5, didn't make the playoffs. He's played 17 seasons. They've gone to 13 AFC championship games. That, to me, is above and beyond anything else. I mean, you have organizations, really, in essence, every organization that is desperate to get to a championship game, right? The Giants, who you'd say, Giants have had a pretty storied, successful run over the Super Bowl era, have been to 5 NFC championship games. Tom Brady's been to 13. Tom Brady has been to 13. Now, mind you, the Giants are 5-0 in the NFC championship games, but that's different. Or the Jets have been to what? How many? They went in 82, right? So I mean, 69, there's no AFC, NFC. So they went in 82 when they lost to the Dolphins. They went in 98 where they lost to the Broncos. And then they went the 2 years with Rex Ryan where they lost Indianapolis and Pittsburgh back to back. He's gone to 13. And there's so many ways that you can sit here and analyze and slice it and all these things. But the bottom line is this, he's unbelievable. And they're unbelievable. And everyone that I've spoken to has been fully on the, what do you think's going to happen? I'd like to see the Rams win, but if I had to bet my hard-earned money, I'd go on the Patriots, right? Because bottom line is this, and you love Sean McVay, and listen, I think there's reservations about Jared Goff. The thing that really concerns me, and I was reading earlier today, it sounds like they're going to split time with Todd Gurley and CJ Anderson. Something is wrong, right? I mean, you would agree with that. Something is clearly wrong with Todd Gurley. CJ Anderson is the definition of a journeyman back. That's exactly who he is. He's mediocre to the nth degree. And I'm not saying that he wasn't good against the Cowboys. He was. But he was available for 31 teams to pick up. 31! And nobody wanted any part of him. And the Rams just you know, said, well, listen, we need a backup that's at least decent. So they go ahead and they pick him up, and he turns into an integral part of the team down the stretch. He had a couple of really good games. And if you remember week 16, which is everyone's fantasy championship week, he went crazy. Something is wrong. There is no way that we're not going to find out. I don't know if it's a personal issue. I don't know if it's an injury issue, but there is absolutely something wrong with Todd Gurley. And there's no way you can tell me that by Wednesday of this week that we're not going to find out what it is. Now, RJ Bell said he's heard it's something so serious, right? So serious that they don't even want to make it public. And here's the thing, and this is really an interesting topic. You're obligated to disclose injuries. There's an injury report for a reason, and you can't manipulate it because it's for the gambling public. Well, if there really is something wrong, and the Rams are just telling you there's nothing wrong, it's a non-issue, you have nothing to worry about, and you find out there is something wrong, I mean, it's deceitful. So again, it's not the biggest deal in the world. Let's get to the game. 800-919-3776. So we got that, and we got Kristaps Porzingis and the Knicks. And it's funny, I'm watching the game earlier today, and I'm thinking to myself, they're going to win. Like, I'm watching early stages, and you think, well, you got DeAndre Jordan. You got Dennis Smith Jr. You still got Kevin Knox. You had Wesley Matthews. They're going to start winning games. And it's still a little bit of a fear for me, but boy, oh boy. I mean, this is just, they really are a dreadful basketball team. And I don't know if you feel like this right now, but I have had, you know what, Kristaps Porzingis, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I mean, goodbye. Really. I mean, everyone with this, well, you know, Porzingis was a piece of the future, and I liked him, and I don't love the idea that you're moving on from him. But now he puts on his Instagram, the city deserves better than that. My suggestion for Knicks fans, stay woke. Peace. Because now the narrative that he's trying to portray is he didn't want to go anywhere. Enough. I don't want to hear from you. The Knicks would have been perfectly happy building around you and moving forward, and you didn't want to be here. Now, hopefully it plays out that you land two big players. And that's the only way, in my mind, this is a success. The only way is if you wind up landing Durant, Kyrie, Durant, Kemba Walker. I mean, it starts with Kevin Durant. And I think you'd have to be somewhat foolish if you were the Knicks right now to blindly be opening up cap space. Like, you don't trade star players to open up cap space. At least it shouldn't be that way. So if you went ahead and you did that, you trade Hardaway, you trade Courtney Lee, and you include Porzingis in that deal for what? For an expiring contract in DeAndre Jordan. For an expiring contract in Wesley Matthews, for a guy you should have drafted on your own 2 years ago, and for two probably very mediocre first-round picks. The truth is, did you get enough in return? Probably not. But it's all going to boil down to what happens July 1. Do you wind up with two elite free agents? And if you do, this is going to be a home run. And if you don't, we're going to sit back and say, it's the same old Knicks. So I'm annoyed at Porzingis. I'm excited for the Super Bowl. I'm rooting for the Rams. I have a fear that the Patriots are going to win. I'm amazed that Brady's been to 13 AFC championship games. This is his ninth Super Bowl. And let's try to figure out a way that the Rams can win this game and make America feel pretty good about themselves.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Can I take a second and reminisce? Because as a Giants fan, it looks very bleak, doesn't it? You know, there's not a lot going on. 11 years ago today. That's funny. And I walk into studio today, and Anthony says to me, do you know what's 11 years ago today? Do I know what's 11 years ago today? I mean, honestly, it's possible it's the fourth greatest day of my life. My two kids, my wedding day, and then February 3rd of 2008. I mean, that day was without a doubt one of the great days. The Giants, and it's so funny because I remember that run like it was yesterday. Remember the Giants went to Tampa? And I remember, and this is such a weird way to look at a game. The Giants go to Tampa, and my thought heading into that game was, you know, of course you want to win, but I don't want to lose to Dallas, so maybe it's just best off to lose in Tampa and be done with it, and then they beat Tampa. And you remember that was the game that Jerry Jones put all the NFC Championship tickets into the lockers of the Cowboys, and everyone's all excited, and they destroyed the Giants twice. They had 13 Pro Bowlers, and the Giants couldn't compete with them. And then I remember saying in that game, you know, just let me beat Dallas. Just can we just? I don't even care about the game against Green Bay. Just can we just beat Dallas? And they beat Dallas 21-17. And it's nice to see Tony Romo finally get to a Super Bowl. And we'll see that tonight at 6 o'clock, 6:30. And then the Giants play the Packers. And I remember sitting there thinking, listen, your house money now. But if we beat Green Bay, at least we play in the Super Bowl. And they beat Green Bay and the interception and Corey Webster and the whole nine yards. And then, of course, you get to the Super Bowl, which is 11 years ago to the day, 17-14. And, oh, my God, was that a game. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's go to Bruce in Maryland. Bruce, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, Rothenberg?
How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. I just want to tell you one thing that I think that this is the key to the Super Bowl. If they're not going to pressure Brady, they're going to be in for the longest night, I'm telling you. The two games that the Giants won them, they hit Brady so much times. If he's going to sit there in the
pocket. But how did they get to him? Who got to him? The guys up the middle, Bruce. The Donald and Tomic and Sue guys of this game. That's who got, right? The Justin Tucks of the world got to him in those Super Bowls.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that if they don't get to Brady, it's going to be a long night.
Well, I think there's a couple things with this game, and thanks for the phone call. Firstly, you know that New England is going to want to take the ball and milk the clock. They don't want to go up and down, matching points. They want to take the ball and have seven-minute drives, run the ball, Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead, James White, little passes, 8-9 yards into the flat, and just dink and dunk their way. See, not a lot of teams, even though in theory it seems like it's not all that difficult, not a lot of teams can dink and dunk their way down the field. Like you would say, if you're a good defense, or even a mediocre defense, I don't think this team can go 13 plays, 80 yards, 8 minutes consistently. I don't think you feel like that about New England. In fact, you probably feel just the opposite. They can do that. They will do that. But you talk about getting pressure on Tom Brady, and it's an interesting topic. It's such an advantage if you can get pressure up the middle on him, because you know what he loves to do, right? If Fowler is able to get edge pressure, he'll step up. But if there's nowhere to step up to, and therein lies what the Rams are trying to do. There's a number of ways that you look at the Rams attempting to win this game. And first and foremost is probably running the ball effectively. If you're the Rams, but this brings us back to the thing that gets you nervous, Todd Gurley. Because I don't know that Jared Goff can single-handedly win a game. But what I do feel somewhat confident about is that if they're running the ball effectively, and then they can incorporate play action, now you're talking. That's a way that the Rams can probably move the football consistently. Because, let's be honest, in watching the Rams this postseason, there were times in the Cowboys game when you watched Jared Goff and he didn't look great. And there were times in the game against the Saints where you watched Jared Goff and, I mean, let's be fair, the first, I don't know, 20 minutes of the game against the Saints, they looked completely overwhelmed, if you recall. He had his tackles coming in, talking to him and asking him what the play was. Nobody could hear each other. Gurley's dropping the football left and right. They can't run the ball. The saving grace in that game was that, and to their fortune, they were able to not get behind too much. It was 13-0, but it wasn't a ton. You know, it's not like you're down 21-0 and you have no choice but to throw the ball. You're down 13-0, so you can still incorporate, and they did. And they kicked the field goal, and they scored a touchdown, and they righted the ship, and they were down 13-10 at the half, and they were well within striking distance. You know, you have to be able, if you're the Rams, to establish the run. And again, I'm not saying you have to pick up 6-7 yards a pop, but set up third and threes, set up second and fives, where the play action that can be so successful has a chance to work. This is a fascinating matchup to me. Because the nice thing about Wade Phillips and the Wade Phillips defense is he's done it before. He's had success against Brady and this offense in the past. And I get it. Edelman is a beast. And Gronk is still an elite blocker and still has something to say in the passing game. But there's not a guy that you look at and say, oh, God, this scares me to death. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson is not that guy, and James White is not that guy, and Rex Burkhead is not that guy. I don't think they have that guy. Now, can they go 13 plays, 80 yards, 8 minutes, and put it in the end zone? Yeah, they can. But I don't think if you're Wade Phillips and you're the Rams defense, that there's one player you look at and you say, we have to slow him down. Brady's Brady. But the interesting thing about that game against the Chiefs, and 800-919-3776, the interesting thing about that game against the Chiefs is, if Dee Ford is not lined up in the neutral zone, do you understand that they lose and Tom Brady was picked off 3 times in a championship game? But no, he's offside. They finish the drive. They win in overtime, and it's the same heroics. Brady was picked off in the end zone early on in that game. They were up 14-0 in the half. Could he at least been 17, if not 21? 800-919-3776. Let's go back to the phones. Let's bring in Spike in Jersey. Spike, you're on 98.7. What's up, buddy?
What a treat to get you on Super Bowl Sunday.
Listen, I don't want to brag, Spike, but it's a treat for people like you. I see that.
It's a treat for more than people. It's a treat for humanity.
Well, I'll take it. What's on your mind, Spike?
Hey, look, I just came back. Took a couple of kids to the Knicks game today. The building's packed. And Dennis Smith Jr., if you take a good look at him, does he look like Kyle Lowry to you a little bit in his face?
I'd have to look closer.
Take a close look and let me know when the next time I call you. I was worried, like you said, but we think alike. I'm just an old version of you. I said, don't win this game. What are you doing? But then I said, watch the two-man game with Conley and Gasol. If the Knicks wanted to win or even attempted to win, they ran the same play 7 or 8 times in a row on a weak side. I'm sure you saw it.
Just keep on
the ball in the Gasol, who's a beast of a guy, and can't.
I love watching. I know the center is non-existent in the NBA anymore, but I really enjoy watching him.
Oh,
play.
I love that. I love watching that. It's perfection. He's so smooth and he's huge. One quick question. So during there was a brief time, I don't know if it's called it on TV, but what's Keith Smart, the kid from Indiana, his assistant coach?
Yep.
And they thought they called Cantor's name up?
Yeah, I mean, we saw it. Then they mentioned it in the post-game press conference.
What did he say? I didn't hear that. I was riding home.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess what happened is he said Dennis, and he thought he said Ennis, so he got up and he ran down and he bumped into Keith Smart. And then I guess they told him go back to the end of the bench. We didn't call you.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, we love our sports, and we have our favorite sports. We love our talk show hosts. We love all the stuff on the radio. But this is poor. This is not right to handle, not handled properly. And I wish they'd just get rid of him, let him move on.
You gotta buy him out by February 7th. You have to.
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone too. And I'll tell you, I said to the guys, the 10-year-old and 14-year-old, you can relate to it. I said, there'll be one lob pass with a slam dunk from DeAndre Jordan. Who move him on, get the money. I do not like what Porzingis did, but I want to get to one thing of the Super Bowl.
I'm like,
I don't care. I don't really care. I don't hate the Patriots. It's like Canty says, it's perfection. You're watching perfection. I don't care if they slice and dice them up. But the Giants beat them, and that'll always be something we have above them.
Listen, I don't have a huge disdain for them either. I'm kind of lukewarm, but yeah, I would like to see some new blood win the Super Bowl. But Belichick was a Giant, and Belichick was a great Giant coach.
Right.
The Giants beat him twice in the Super Bowl. Why do I have any animosity towards him? I really don't.
I don't. I'll tell you. I'll watch the game and analyze it and all that. But I'll tell you, I don't see how the Patriots, they couldn't beat them last week. They're not going to beat them this week. You know what I mean? Different team. But I just think Belichick's too good a coach. And your guy that you're on with Saturday, R.J. Bell, said it. He can't figure Belichick out in Vegas. That says it all. 61%. That's a gold mine for any better. You enjoy it. I'll listen to the rest of the program.
Thank you, Spike, and I appreciate the phone call. 800-919-3776. You know, it's funny, and this is something that gives you pause, at least for me. I mean, and just internalize this, digest it, and give me your answer, right? You're driving, you're on your way to Super Bowl party, and ask you 2 questions. Are the Rams playing their best football right now? No. I mean, they're not. The thing that makes them tick, their elite running back, is not playing great football right now. Something is clearly not right with him. So the answer is no. Are the Patriots playing their best football right now? Yeah, they are. And that's the thing. They always are. So when they start at 2-2 or 4-2 and they say, boy, you know, what exactly is not right? They don't care. This is when they want to be playing their best football. And it's amazing because every year, like clockwork, they are playing their best football right now. I mean, the Chargers are good. And they dismantled them 3 weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago, on the road, 3-5 on the road this season, They were clearly the better team over Kansas City in that game on that day. Artie Brooklyn. Artie, you're on 98.7.
Yeah, they were the better team, fine. But you know what? They were an offsides away from losing.
But they didn't. And you know what, Artie? They didn't, and they always find a way. They're always on the right end of the offsides call, aren't they?
Right. And that's why I'm taking the Patriots, because the experience, and because somehow or another, it's the other team that makes that kind of mistake or gets a call. Whatever it is that Brady didn't get hit in the face but got the call, or somebody, or the Edelman play. Nobody talks about this, Dave. But here's the thing. Everybody's harping on the New Orleans Saints thing. But when Edelman did not touch the ball in his mind, right? He didn't touch the ball. He immediately gets up and goes after the referee and says, "What are you talking about? I didn't touch it." But they made the call that he did. There is not enough proof in that tape to tell me he did it. Do I believe he didn't touch it? Yes, because of his reaction. But again, you cannot.
I don't think he touched it, Artie. I don't think he did. And I got to be honest, at first glance, I would have bet anything that he touched it. It looked like it bounced off of him, but I don't think he did touch it.
Rule it. But it's the same thing as the no talk. For whatever reason, the Patriots get the call. All right, thanks, Dave.
All right, I appreciate the phone call. But you know what? They do, and you also make your own luck. You'll say they always get this. I mean, teams always throw the interception at the goal line. Malcolm Butler always makes, like, it's always the same thing. And why does it always happen in their favor? Because they're better. Because the little nuances always works out for them. It always does. So you say it's lucky, and I guess some of it is. But you know what? You make your own luck. Why do you think it is that the players that practice the hardest turn out typically to be the best players? You make your own luck. And they do. And they do it better as well or better than any team we've ever seen in any sport. In an era where there's parity all over the place in the NFL. Right? Last year, NFC Championship game. Vikings didn't make the playoffs. Eagles, playoffs, didn't get back. AFC. Patriots. I mean, just look at the teams that go or don't go year to year to year. Every single year they go. You might hate them, I get it. But you have to respect the way they're able to do it.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
So Highlander tweets in, and this is to me, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to him, such a weak tweet. Dave, the Patriots have had the easiest path to the playoffs for the simple reason they're a quality team in the worst division in football since the Brady and Belichick era. So I don't get the awe about them getting to the postseason year in and year out. Come on. They've gone to the AFC Championship game 8 years in a row. It's just sour grapes. If you can look at this 20-year run, or I guess 18-year run to be precise, and take jabs at it, that's on you. Because there's nothing negative to say. They've done it they went from a defensive team to an offensive team to a team that defense wasn't good and led by a tight end and every which way. The only two things that have been staples for this organization over the last 18 years are the quarterback and the coach. So stop with looking for ways to bring them down. They're amazing. You want to say they do things that go up to the edge and even across it by taping things or deflating footballs? Fine. But do you really think that Tom Brady playing a football game with a football not pumped up to the right number has any impact on anything? They're amazing. And whether you like them or you hate them or you're a Pats fan or you would do anything within your power to watch them lose, you have to admit that they're an amazing organization. Jeremy and Yonkers. Jeremy, you're on 98.7.
Dave, my man, how are you?
What's up, Jeremy? How are you? You sound so nice, so excited to talk to me.
Oh, yeah, well, Dave, you're one of my favorites, man. I mean, I'm not just saying that, but I always love it when you're on the air, man.
Well, you're great. So what do you got today, Jeremy?
Okay, so, Dave, I wanted to bring up some points about KP and the Knicks, of course. I don't really care that much about the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm going to watch it, eat my way.
You're going to watch it.
Yeah, KP's where it's at, man. I mean, I was pissed off. I've gone through just the all the stages, you know, similar to death with the KP scenario. But, okay, my thing is, I keep going back and forth. Do the Knicks really know what they're doing? Like, for instance, if they had an inkling that KP was going to leave or that they might trade him, they should have tried to extend his contract. If they extended his contract, his rookie contract, then they would have had so much more power to trade him to so many different teams, because then there wouldn't be the threat of him walking. That was one point. The other point is, I think the Knicks are pretty committed to their draft pick, because now since they got rid of Hardaway and Lee, they don't really have any money to match up with, say, even if they wanted to get Anthony Davis. I don't think they have the money to match up now that those big contracts are gone. And my final point, Dave, thanks so much, is that, Mitch, I hope you agree with me, but Steve Mills is... I have no confidence in Steve Mills at all. I mean, Scott Perry...
I'll tell you what. I say this with Mills. I say it with Perry. I say it with Fizdale. Thanks for the call and the kind words. I reserve judgment. If we get to July 5th, and it's Tobias Harris and Chris Middleton, then, I mean, take it and pile it on. But let's wait and see. That's all I'm saying. Let's wait and see. And it might turn out that you'd say, God, they got rid of KP and they brought in Dennis Smith. They got two first-round picks, and now they have KD, and now they have Kyrie Irving, and now they have Zion Williamson. That's the dream. But I'm not going to sit here and kill it, and I'm not going to sit here and commend it, because honestly, I don't know. Fran in Massapequa. Franny, you're on 98.7, bud.
What's up, Dave? I agree with that call. You're an excellent listener, Dave. You know that. I always
well,
tell
I appreciate
you that.
It.
I got in the car, and yeah, I was like, Dave's on at 3, coming on after the game. Listen,
that's right. Right after the Knicks, baby, and the Knicks doing Knicks things. What do you got?
Exactly. All right, listen, the Super Bowl, I'm sorry. I got to go. This year I'm going with the Stats, Pats. I'm going with the Stats, and I'm going with the Pats. I'm going with the people want to talk about basketball, but I'm going with Brady not choking and the young kid choking. That's what I'm going with. I saw a thing where it said he's the worst quarterback in the league, the kid, at passes downfield.
Jared Goff? Come on. No, Jared Goff, worst quarterback in the league.
No. His stat is he's the worst at throwing the ball down the field, completions downfield.
I don't know what stats you're looking at, but sometimes let's use the eye test, Fran, and he is not the worst quarterback throwing the ball down the field.
I didn't say that, Dave. I didn't say that. I'm just someone on the air said that he's throwing downfield. Their offense is one of the worst in the league. He's not the worst. I didn't say that.
I understand that. My point is, in watching them play and watching him throw the ball deep, there is no way that he is among the worst quarterbacks in the league at throwing the ball downfield.
Can you check it out for me? That's all, because I heard.
I don't care. I mean, I can make a stat say anything, Fran.
No, you know, absolutely, and I didn't want to argue with you, baby. You're right. But listen, real quick, I got to talk to you about this Knicks thing. It's amazing. When Dennis Smith Jr. was on his way to winning the Rookie of the Year, KP blew out his knee. Everybody said it's the worst in the world. We should have took the other kid, blah, 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 blah. I like what they did. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't think KP wanted to be here. That's my opinion. Him and his brother, I didn't like all that stuff going on.
Well, it didn't seem like it. I mean, the guy blew off an exit meeting.
Yep, but now the thing is this. How on God's green earth can you sit here as a Knicks fan? Not you, but every Knicks fan, and say that we didn't rob them. Not rob them, but we didn't
rob
get a good
them.
Deal. Oh, we got a guy that everybody thought was better. I know KP's a project, and he's got the potential to be great. But Dennis Smith Jr. won Rookie of the Year and has a better NBA career to this day than KP.
No,
and
come on, friend.
What?
No, that's just
lunacy. You think KP's going to be that much better than the kid?
Yes, I think KP is way better than Dennis Smith Jr.
Really?
Oh, I don't even think it's close.
Then Dave, how come every Knicks fan was saying, how did we draft this and not the kid?
Well, I think he's better than Frank Ntilikina, which is who you drafted instead of taking Dennis Smith. But do I think that KP is better than Dennis Smith? Yes.
Did we have a shot at Dennis Smith Jr. instead of KP, yes or no?
Yes.
Right, so why did everybody? I listen to the radio all my life, every day. People were saying, Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be much better.
I mean, Fran, you took Ntilikina over Dennis Smith Jr.
I understand that. But what I'm saying, my apologies. I thought that it was in the same draft, so you're right. I screwed up. My apologies. The bottom line is this. He wanted to go get rid of him. We're going to do all right, I'm telling you.
Maybe they will, and thanks for the call. All right, and have a great Super Bowl. Anthony, what is happening today?
I have no idea.
Why is everybody looking to argue about everything?
I did look it up, though, on NFL's Next Gen Stats.
I don't care.
Okay, I'm just letting you know.
So what? You're going to tell me that stat is correct?
It's not that he's one of the lower average completed air yards quarterbacks, Jared Goff, of any in the NFL. But that doesn't mean that he can't get the ball down the field. He's just not as good as doing it as other
beautiful throws against the Saints. So I don't buy into it. You can make stats say anything, but everyone feels like they look at it's a great day. It's almost like a national holiday. Why are we arguing? We shouldn't be arguing. Let's get along.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The bet that is having the most reaction with these prop bets, and I know all you lunatics are out there with your prop bets and the direction it's heading in and where do you want to bet on it. I guess the anthem started out at a, let me see if I can find this now. The anthem started out, the over-under was, I think, a minute 19, and now it's up to a minute 26. So apparently you want to bet the over on the anthem, if you're so inclined with that kind of stuff. RJ Bell told us all week long, the Patriots over 119 rushing yards as a team. He loves that. He'd go over. He likes the under 56.5. And I don't even know what the number is right now, if it's 2.5 or 3. Or I saw so there was some action this morning on the Rams, might be down to 2. The understanding is 3, you bet Rams. Anything below 3, you bet Patriots. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Rich on Long Island. Rich, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, what's going on today?
What's up, Rich?
I wanted to get your opinion here. If you are part of the Giants brass, and I want to know what players are on your scouting report for today's game to potentially join the New York Giants next year.
You know what? Honestly, I'm not watching the game with the thought of who are the Giants going to pick up. I know what they need. They need everything, right? There's nothing on defense that they don't need. They need edge rushers. They probably don't need defensive tackles. You need linebackers. You probably could use a corner, and they need offensive line. I'm more focused right now, Rich, and thanks for the call, on the Giants and their draft rather than I am with the Giants and the free agency this offseason. Amir in Long Island. Amir, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Not much. So I wanted to talk about this Porzingis trade. Now, the knee-jerk reaction obviously felt like we gave him away for basically mid-level draft picks, Dennis Smith Jr., and some cap space. But if he was going to sign...
Is that not true, though, Amir? I mean, isn't that what they gave him away? Whether it turns out that it works out or not, isn't that what they traded him for? They cleared up cap space, two probably mediocre draft picks, and a player that you could have had 2 years ago in the draft.
Well, that was Phil Jackson's fault. Thank God he's gone. But my thing is, if he was going to leave anyways, if he signed the qualifying offer this year instead of signing a max contract, we would have had even less leverage because he was guaranteed to leave. We may have gotten back even less. Isn't that true?
It's possible. I don't know why there was such a mass rush to move him. I really don't.
I don't understand that part either. I mean, we had all so the trade deadline, and then we could have done a sign-in trade or even trade him with the qualifying offer. But I think this helped us clear the most amount of salary.
You're right, Amir. You cleared a lot of cap space. So in the long term, if we get 5 months down the road and you're able to bring in Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving or Kemba Walker, and you really change the complexion of this team, and you bring in a really big time player in the draft, yes. Then you can sit here and tell me that this is a win. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that right now when it's clearly not a win.
It's a to be determined. The grade is incomplete.
I completely concur with you. It's TBD.
Yes. Also, one last thing. The last caller said Dennis Smith Jr. won Rookie of the Year last year. It was Ben Simmons. Dennis Smith wasn't even top three.
No. And look, Dallas couldn't wait to get rid of him. They made it public, thanks to the call, Amir. They made it public about a month ago that he was on the block. And then he played decently with Doncic for a couple of games, but they didn't want him. I've said it before, and this still holds true. If I can get Kevin Durant, I will pretty much do whatever he tells me to do. Really. And I mean that sincerely. If I can get Kevin Durant and you want me to keep Dennis Smith, if you want me to move Dennis Smith, if you want me to ship him off to a desert island, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You come here and you, in conjunction with Scott Perry, are the GM. You want Kemba Walker over Kyrie Irving? Done. You want Zion Williamson? We'll keep him. You want us to trade that pick? We'll trade it. Whatever you want, we'll do. Mark in Jersey. Mark, you're next up on 98.7.
How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Mark?
Not too much. I don't have much to say other than I'll make a prediction for the game tonight. I think it's going to surprise a lot of people. I think Rams 31, Patriots 10.
10? No, come on. They're not going to kill them.
You'll see.
I'll tell you what, Mark.
Is that what my nickname is? The Wizards.
Mark, I'll tell you what, and if you can turn the TV up in the background a little bit so I can hear the pregame show, it would be great. But I'll tell you this. If they beat them 31-10, or they hold them to 10 points, you call back and I will call you the Wizard on the air. But that's not going to happen. It's not. To hold this team to 10, to beat them by 3 touchdowns, they've been to 8 of these Super Bowls. The biggest loss was by 8 points. And they had a chance. I mean, they were down 5 with the football with 2 minutes to go or 3 minutes to go. Still pains me, by the way, that the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year. Matt in Jersey. Matt, you're next up.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
Got it, Matt. What's on your mind?
I'm just laughing at the 31-10. But I think the Patriots. I like the Patriots today. But I want to talk Knicks and the KP thing. I like the trade at first, and the more and more I looked at it, I got to tell you, I think that, like you said, it's to be determined, right? You know, if we don't land KD and another superstar, in my opinion, I think then we lose. It's a loss, you know? I do think that they had to trade him, but I don't think they had to trade him right away. You know, I think they really didn't do their due diligence, but that's typical Knicks, right? You know, so we'll see. But I really do 100% agree with you on the KD situation. If you know he's coming and there's whatever behind the scenes work at play, and I think there is, I really truly do.
Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, if there's not, then what are you doing?
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. You know, I don't know how much stock to put in this, but, you know, Cantor came out and said that, you know, we're going to blow people's minds, I think was his words, you know, and I trust that, and I think that his inside track with KD is something to take some stock into at the end of the day. I think that if you don't come away with Kyrie or Kemba and KD, then it's the same old, you know, and we got to just pray that we get, the top three. You know, I think there's 3 superstars in this draft, and we have to get one of them.
Who do you think the 3 superstars are? Barrett, Morant, and Williamson?
Yeah, I think that those – If you get one of those 3, you know, Barrett, I think he's on the fence there, you know.
I think he's going to be a great NBA player.
I do, too. And, again, a lot of these young guys, shooting is the issue, right? So that's the only question mark on him is his shooting. But Zion Williamson, for me right now, besides that maybe he's 6'6", he's a clear-cut superstar. If you can land Zion Williamson and pair him with 2 great superstars, the Knicks are in play to be great. My other thing that I wanted to bring up real quick, and I know that this is going to be in the minority, but if you can get back a guy like DeAndre Jordan, if we can make him happy and he can come sign to play with some superstars, he's a nice piece to have with this. But I,
yeah,
I know
how much money am I going to pay DeAndre Jordan?
Man, I mean, if you
therein lies the rub. If I'm going to pay KD a max and Kyrie Irving a max, I'm probably not going to have enough money to pay DeAndre Jordan.
No, and I get that. He's 30 years old. He's going to probably get one more contract, and he's going to be looking for it. I totally get that.
You're right. I mean, in a perfect world, I mean, how great would it be? All you're going to do is clean up the misses, rebound, block shots. You don't have to worry about putting the ball in the basket unless you're wide open, the ball gets passed to you. I'd love that. I like DeAndre Jordan. In fact, yeah. I'm actually worried, and thanks for the call, Matt, I'm actually worried that if you keep DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews and play Dennis Smith, that you're going to wind up winning too many games. Look. There's 2 ways to look at this right now. You absolutely have to be one of the 3 worst teams record-wise in the NBA. And ideally, it's 1. That's it. Anything beyond that, I don't care if the last games of the season, you have to tie somebody's leg to the bench. You cannot win games. And right now, there's teams that if you win 3 of, if you go 3-5 in your next 8, you're going to wind up passing these teams. 31 games left. Go 5-26. 4-27. Wind up with the worst record. And you know what the thing is? And it's true. You can see it. And this is, to me, what's so frustrating. Like, the Giants are nowhere near. The Jets, I mean, they're building, but they're nowhere near. I could actually sit here and paint a very real picture to you of how the Knicks can compete for a championship. KD, Kyrie Irving, Zion Williamson, you're the best team in the East, right? Now, KD has left Golden State. You can compete with anybody. You want to move Kevin Knox, Dennis Smith, whoever, for the players that they want? Great. But you're going to compete. And that, to me, is what makes this so different and unique. Because, I mean, from anyone's mouth to God's ears, you can speak two sentences and make the Knicks a relevant championship caliber club. You can't do that normally. You can't do that for the Rangers. You can't do that for the Mets. You can't do that for the Knicks. Normally, this time around, you can. You get to July, KD, Irving, Zion Williamson. Boom. You're competitive.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
You see what the Eagles did, though? Looks like they're going to attempt to keep Nick Foles and deal him. Now, he can buy out of his $20 million contract this coming year for $2 million, and then the Eagles have to decide what they're going to do with him. And they probably have to decide soon. The Giants are going to decide soon, too, on Eli. It's going to happen this month. Before the end of February, we will know, which is amazing to think. The guy's been here forever, since 04. 800-919-3776. Let's go to E in the Bronx. E, you're on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing, man? Great show. I have really two questions. One is NFL, one is the Knicks. NFL, I was wondering, is it crazy of me to think that maybe they can do away with the overtime rule and maybe the last minute or two of the game you have to score to win as opposed to tie? Is that insane?
Hang on a second.
Of me?
So what happens now? You have no overtime?
You have no overtime. The last minute or two, you know, whatever they decide, instead of having an overtime, the rule is you have to score to win.
All right, so walk me. I don't really understand. So if it's a tie game at 24, let's use today for an example, and you're the Patriots, tie game 24, right. 5 minutes to go, you get the ball, you can't move, you punt it away. Rams get the ball, they can't move, they punt it away. Now there's no time left on the clock of regulation. Now what happens?
I see what you're saying. See, I thought I knew I didn't think it through, man.
2 minutes.
You're good. Thank you. I appreciate it. I didn't think it through. Thank you. Gotcha.
Bring that one back to the drawing board and come back with a little better planned out. I mean, what? I don't understand. Anthony, are people just calling to argue today?
Seems like it.
I mean, it's a holiday. It's the Super Bowl. Everyone should be in a good mood. And Dave, how are you? I'm so excited. And all I get is I want to argue with you.
I guess people haven't had their wings yet. I think that's the big problem here.
How many wings will you eat today?
I could probably do like 15.
15. Do you think if I paid you $10 a wing, you could do 100?
That'd be tough. That would be tough.
For 10 bucks a wing?
I mean, I'd try to do it for 10 bucks a wing. But I'd have
to get... If I said I'm going to give you $50,000, but you have to eat 400 wings without throwing up, would you try?
I'd consult with Joey Chestnut and I'd give it a go, yes.
But you would give it a go?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you'd have to. You owe it to yourself.
And my family. I would just...
Everyone that's supported you all these years. Eddie in Brooklyn. Eddie, you're on 98.7.
Hi, Dave. Pleasure calling in, Dave.
Appreciate it, Eddie. What's on your mind today? Who are you rooting for?
I don't want to argue with you.
We're not going to argue. Who are you rooting for, Rams or Patriots?
I'm a diehard Denver Broncos fan, so I could care less. But as far as a football standpoint, I would love to see a new team like the Rams win the Super Bowl today. Other than that, I want to say one thing. One, we should embrace the fact that we got a chance to see a quarterback like Tom Brady in our generation. You're never going to see that again. So I think as sports fans,
you'll never see a guy win as much as him, Eddie, but you'll see quarterbacks as good as he is.
Yes, talent is one thing. Success is a whole different story.
Right, right. Okay? Like you'll see quarterbacks as talented as he is. You'll never see a quarterback win as much as he's won. I agree.
No way. And let me tell you something. Talent, pound for pound, Aaron Rodgers is by far the most talented quarterback in the NFL, but he doesn't have the success to back it up. So at the end of the day, it's really, there's wasted talent all over the place. You understand? Everywhere you turn, at any level of sports, there's wasted talent. Now, I don't want to say that Aaron Rodgers is wasted talent. but the clock is ticking, and there's not a lot to show for it.
Oh, come on. Aaron Rodgers has been the best quarterback in football for a long time now.
Yes, yes. There's no dispute about his talent. I agree with you, Dave, 100%. But let's be honest here. For the talent and skill set that man has, he is not winning like he should be.
Well,
I mean, he's missing the playoffs.
They are recovering an onside kick away from going to another Super Bowl.
Okay, fine. You want to play the what if? What can?
That's not a what if. I mean, if they recover that onside kick, they go back to the Super Bowl.
Okay, right, 100%. Listen, I'm not saying that he's a bum.
I just think it's unfair. Yeah. I don't know when we became a society that either you win and you're a grand champion, or if you don't, you're a loser. I mean, Dan Marino disappointed you in his NFL career then, right?
I think if you ask Dan Marino himself, he'll tell you his NFL career was pretty much a disappointment personally.
Oh, come on, Eddie. That is ridiculous.
Dave, at that position, there's no other measuring stick, but... Okay,
Eddie, do you remember how bad their defense was and how incapable they were running the ball? They had a great quarterback, and they had a number of really, really good receivers with him.
Okay, let's go back to John Elway in the 80s, because those Bronco teams were...
John Elway in the 80s, he never won anything.
He was on some atrocious teams. He still took his team to 5 Super Bowls.
But when did he finally start to actually win the Super Bowls, Eddie?
Huh? He won
when did
Super
he start
Bowls
to actually win Super Bowls? When what happened? When they actually had a running game and a defense with them?
Well, listen, I wouldn't go crazy about the defense, but the running game, Mike Shanahan, it was the right cocktail.
But Eddie, they went to the Super Bowls. They got embarrassed on 3 occasions. Embarrassed.
Yeah, but listen, Dan Marino couldn't even get them there.
He went to a Super Bowl.
He went one in 17 years? Come on, Davey. I don't know, man.
I can't allow you to call up and sit here and blast Dan Marino. It's just, and here we go. Eddie, everyone, and thanks for the call, Eddie. Anthony, everyone wants to argue.
This doesn't happen when they're talking to me. I promise.
I mean, you answer the phone like 98.7. Like, I just want to argue with Dave.
Sometimes people do say that. Today, I haven't gotten any.
No. Has anyone ever really called you and said, I just want to argue with Dave?
I have had calls that say, I just want to get under Dave's skin. And I'm like, why would I allow you to do that?
Do you see the reaction that I have in people?
It's amazing.
I press these buttons which make people explosive.
Yeah. I don't even know how we got on Dan Marino, really. But here we are.
Well, I push it because he's saying that Aaron Rodgers had a disappointing career. Because we have gotten, and I don't know how this exactly has happened, but we have gotten to the point now in sports where either you're a grand champion a la Tom Brady and all you do is win, or you're a loser.
That's where we are. That's a really hard, high bar to set for people, and quite frankly, just not true.
I mean, a guy just called and said that Aaron Rodgers is at a disappointing run. That Dan Marino only went to one Super Bowl, and the guy said if you asked Dan Marino, that he would tell you that he didn't live up to what he hoped for in his career. Dan Marino put up numbers that we've never seen. It was elite, elite, elite. You put Dan Marino with Bill Belichick on this Patriots team over the last 20 years, you don't think he's got a boatload of rings? Chris in Jersey. Chris, you're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, Dave? Not going to argue with you.
You say that. Now you say that, Chris. You call. You're composed.
I've been listening to you.
You're going
to
yell at me about something.
I'm not. I promise. I do disagree on the Porzingis thing. I'm a Knicks fan for years. I love Patrick. I love Anthony Mason. I got him in my office in terms of a poster. But I'm happy for them letting him go, Porzingis. I would watch him play, and he's always tired, except for a couple dunks, third quarter. He's huffing and puffing. And you know what? He's not engaged. And when you're not engaged for the team, whether it's the right time or not, it's time to go, and they're making a decision. If we get KD, that's wonderful. If we get someone else like a Kyrie, wonderful. If we don't, like the caller 10 callers ago, I'll be okay, because the truth of the matter is, once Steph and LeBron and all these guys are out of the league, that's when we'll have the time to shine. I'd love to get KD. We need
a
star.
Ever win? Chris, if they don't
win, but it's okay. But it's
never going to win.
It's okay if we don't win. It's okay. It's okay. You got to love the team again. That's the whole point.
It's not okay to not win. How could you have the mindset that you're okay going into an offseason with Durant and Kyrie and Kemba Walker? And hey, if we get them, great. And if we don't get them, that's fine too. How?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because we're just if we don't get them, these stars are gonna. It's always gonna be the Warriors and the LeBrons and whoever team they're on until they're out of the league. Then it could reset a little bit, and that's where I'm optimistic. What I love to see them,
but I love the Garden. Chris, I think this is the new look of the NBA. I think you'll wind up with
Zion.
I think that guys want to form super teams like LeBron has done, and that's what we've seen for the last 10 years.
I'll throw you another one real quick. I'm with my cousin, and he says to me about Larry Bird, and his friends are telling him Larry Bird's no good. I said, are you kidding me? Take a look, and he's young. I said, that changed his mind right there. But again, it's a different NBA. I wish for the days of Larry Johnson and Patrick and Starks, who I met a couple times as a kid. That'd be great. But either way, Porzingis, he's a prima donna. He doesn't want to be here. You can't have people who don't want to be on your team, no matter if it's basketball or work or anything else. Otherwise, it's never going to be conducive for a good work environment.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris, and thank you for not arguing with me. And I do appreciate the call. But you know what? Just because he didn't want to be here doesn't mean that that's the package you had to take in return. You didn't have to rush. I would have done my due diligence and tried to get more. I mean, I like Dennis Smith. I'm fine with that. But the only piece that you bring back that I think turns into real value is Dennis Smith. Because Jordan's going to be gone for probably nothing. Matthews will be gone for probably nothing. And I'm not convinced that these picks are going to turn into anything. I think Dallas will be too good. So you're going to wind up with Dennis Smith for KP. And you clear cap space, of which you shouldn't assign some of these guys for in the first place. And I sat here and yelled about it on Saturday mornings 2 years ago, saying Tim Hardaway will wind up being a terrible Dave, he could score 20 points a game. Great. That's what I want to spend $18 million a year on, Tim Hardaway. So now you have to figure out a way to move on from him. Oh, if we attach him to a guy that somebody really wants, now you can. Same with Courtney Lee.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's funny. The prevailing view of this game is I can't go against Brady and Belichick. I think the Rams have a fair chance to win this game. I'll take New England just because I kind of feel like I have to. And that's how I feel also. Like when push comes to shove, do I think the Rams can win? Yeah, I do. But am I going to take Sean McVay and Jared Goff? Am I going to take Jared Goff to make the big throw in the big moment? I'm not. Not against Tom Brady, I'm not. You know, and again, everyone loves Drew Brees. He's a Hall of Famer. The stats go crazy. Drew Brees, last two weeks ago, I don't think he's a great quarterback anymore. I think the lack of arm strength is absolutely evident. So again, we'll go back to it. We'll close out with a couple of your calls as well. Is how do the Rams move the football? Are they able to move the football on the ground, establishing the run? And I'm not talking about running for 270 yards like they did against the Cowboys, which, mind you, was one of the great days we've seen lately. But I'm not saying they have to do that, but can they run for 4 yards on first down and set up second and six where the thought is they'll run it again and then play action, throw downfield? Like, can they make the play action game relevant? And if they can, I give them a real chance. But the couple of reasons that I have to go with New England here is I don't know that I trust Jared Goff in the biggest spot. I know I trust Tom Brady in that spot. And something's not right with Todd Gurley. So all those things make me, and I'll say it's close. I'll say it's, I don't know, 30-24, something like that. But I think New England wins and they cover. And I saw an interesting stat. I think it's 4. I probably should have really looked it up and researched it. I heard it this week. I looked it up and now I don't remember, but I think it's 4 times that the favorite has won and not covered. So if you're the favorite and you're winning, odds are you're covering. Alfred in Jersey. Alfred, you're on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing, man? Alpha, sorry.
Alpha, all right. I'm sorry, Alpha. What's on your mind?
Yeah, my guys. Nah, all good, man. I briefly wanted to talk about this Porzingis trade. I honestly think it's a good trade for both parties. I've been a diehard Knicks fan since like 99, man. And if Porzingis didn't want to be here, we want people that want to be in New York, you know. So why people don't give enough credit to Melo, because he actually took it on and embraced it for as long as he did. And Porzingis hasn't proven anything, to be honest. So it's totally fine. We got some great assets back. Clear some major cap space, and I I have a really strong feeling that KD is coming to NY.
He has to. To make this successful, he has to. You know what? And I don't like this, and thanks to the call, Alpha, is that all of a sudden now we're excited because we cleared cap space. You traded a 2010 guy who's 23 years old to clear cap space. That's the prevailing thought that people are all excited about. Yeah, but Dave, let's be honest. You clear cap space. If I'm trading a player who's 33, who's on an expiring deal, and I clear cap space, that's fine. He's a burgeoning superstar. Now, I'm not going to tell you he's a superstar yet, but he's moving in that direction when healthy. I'm not looking to clear cap space with that. Dan, Long Island. Dan, you're on 98.7.
All right, here we go. We start in August, and we got one phone call left. You're right. I think that the Rams' standard base offense suits the Patriot defense very well. The linebackers are the key. I would not be shocked if the Rams come out 3 and 4 wide sets and take their tight ends off the field, because I don't believe the Patriots have the amount of people that can cover. The Rams, losing Cooper Kupp hurt them more than anyone could ever believe.
Yeah, it hurts a lot. He's a really good receiver. You're right.
But they do have a bunch of wide receivers that are capable. And one other thing I want to mention. You know, everybody talks about that replay, how horrible it was. Do you realize that the play that made us have replay 39 years ago, Wade Phillips was the coordinator for that day, too? He was a coordinator for the Houston Oilers the day of the Mike Renfro catch, and 39 years later, he was the defensive coordinator for the Rams.
What goes around, right?
Goes That's in a unbelievable circle. How long that guy's been around.
How about that? Yeah, he's been around forever, and thanks for the call, Dan. And he is the prototypical great coordinator, not great head coach. George in Yonkers, you're next up, Georgie. What's up, pal?
All right, question.
Yes.
So I am a Dolphins fan.
You're all in on the Rams today, aren't you?
Definitely. So, question is, what do you think the Dolphins are going to do this year with the quarterback situation, seeing as how Tannehill, I've never liked Tannehill.
Well, I think he's done. I was reading something yesterday that said they're going to move on from him. He's not going to be back next
year. They're definitely moving on from him. So do you think that the Dolphins go in this draft this year, get a quarterback, and just
throw
him in? What do you think they do?
I think they stopgap it this year. Thanks for the call. I think they stopgap it this year. And I think they're all in on next year's draft. I think Tua and or Herbert are the guys that they're interested in. Josh in Manhattan. Josh, you're next up on 98.7.
Hello, how are you today?
All right, Josh, what's on your mind?
Good. I'm just talking about KD coming in next. I was just thinking about way back when all three of them, Harden, Westbrook, and KD were in OKC, and they decided to trade Harden instead of Ibaka. How do you think the league has changed since that trade, like, now that Golden State has KD now, like, how do you think the league has changed? Because they could have had potentially 3 MVPs on one team.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they really did. I mean, those you could argue those are 3 of the best 5 players in the world right now. But and thanks for the call, Josh. I don't think they realized at the time that Harden was what he has become. I mean, he's scored 30 points like 37 straight games. And even so, I mean, they were up 3-1. On Golden State, and couldn't close him out. Jimmy Rockland, my guy. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Dave. How's everything going, sir?
Good. You got less than a minute, so hustle through here, Jimmy.
I'm gonna get real fast, though. Just looking for a good competitive game today. Got to root for the Rams, of course.
Everybody's rooting for the Rams. Unless you're from New England or you got money on the Patriots, you're rooting for the Rams.
Absolutely. And in regards to the Knicks, I just hope they can turn this around, because they've been so dysfunctional for so long. I mean, like you said, it's a work in progress. We're not going to know until the summer. But, I mean, I think it might be a step in the right direction. We're going to have a lot of money in the draft picks. Let's just get this right for a change, Dave.
I mean, from your mouth, really. Jimmy, enjoy the game. Thanks for the call.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.